Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you are listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Before I jump into this week's interview, I have a special announcement for you. It's hard to believe that we've entered November, and the season of Thanksgiving is just weeks away. My wife Pam and I, we really love this time of year, and during a recent walk in our city park, we marveled at the beauty of God through His creation. The fall foliage here in Bristol was just out. It was spectacular. The beauty was magnificent. As I think about Thanksgiving, I am reminded of a scripture, Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. What a tremendous promise at this time of the year. No matter how our year has gone, success or failures alike, God's love endures forever. This is also the time of year when we look back over the year in ministry and reflect how the Lord has used you and your CMDA to accomplish much for His glory. Through your prayers, leadership and service, and the generosity of many, your CMDA continues to bring the hope and healing of Christ to our world through healthcare professionals like you and your family members. I know this is when many of you are also considering your year-end financial gifts to advance the gospel work of your church and your favorite Christian ministries. As you do, would you consider your CMDA this year? Our budget for charitable donations in November and December is $655,000. Yes, you heard that right, $655,000. To help inspire generosity, a small group of our ministry friends have offered an $80,000 matching gift, even in the midst of these difficult economic times. And the first $80,000 given during November and December will be matched dollar for dollar. You can help your CMDA claim this matching gift and meet our much needed this year financial goal. You can visit cmda.org/give or contact our stewardship team at 888-230-2637, or you can email our stewardship team, stewardship@cmda.org. I sure look forward in future programs to celebrating the many ways that the Lord uses your generosity this year to advance the gospel through your CMDA as we enter 2023. I'm joined for this week's episode by Pastor Bert Jones, who directs our CMDA's Center for Well-Being. I asked Bert to join me for a conversation with Dr. Ted Hamilton because Dr. Hamilton literally wrote the book on physician well-being. You'll hear more about his background in the interview, so keep listening for more. Well, today on CMDA Matters, I am joined by our director for our Center for Well-Being, as well as leadership and church relations, Pastor Bert Jones, who likes to refer to himself as PBJ. Welcome, that's right. Bert.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And we have a guest, Ted Hamilton, MD. He's a graduate of Loma Linda University School of Medicine, trained in family medicine at Florida Hospital, which has now become the massive Advent Health system in Florida, specifically in Orlando, before he opened solo practice in the rural Smoky Mountains of Western North Carolina, not far from Bristol, Tennessee. His varied career has included experience in patient care, medical education, as well as healthcare administration. He's cared for thousands of patients in both the inpatient and outpatient settings, delivered hundreds of babies, performed or assisted with countless surgeries, and has, like most of us, experienced medical care on the other side of the physician-patient equation himself. So, Dr. Hamilton, I believe your title is Chief of Mission there in Advent Health System. Welcome to CMDA Matters.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be with you.
How does one become a chief of mission? Honestly, that's a title. A mutual friend of ours, who's a great coach and friend, Dr. Steve Sartori, told me, Mike, I've never heard of a chief of mission, but you're going to be interviewing a chief of mission.
So the full title is a mouthful, Chief Mission Integration Officer. So my task is to work with all of the elements of our mission and ministry outreach at Advent Health and figuring out how to help the company make our mission real, practical, authentic, and most of all, touch people's lives. So that's what I get to do every day. It's marvelous.
Sounds like a great job.
Yeah, it does.
One opportunity that this role provides me is that at the beginning of every quarterly board meeting, we open it with a brief devotional or reflection, and followed immediately by mission and ministry report on what has occurred in the 3 months or so before the board meeting and what our plans are for the future. And that mission integration is discussed and ultimately addressed, approved by our board. So it's mission is important in our organization, and that's one reflection of how we are held accountable for it by our governing body.
I imagine the mission has also been impacted a little bit by this pandemic and the issue of burnout. I was reading the other day that someone said that burnout is what happens when you try to avoid being human for too long. How do you define professional burnout, and what are you seeing, especially in the physician world?
The gold standard for defining burnout is Maslach's burnout inventory. Based on extensive research over decades now, Dr. Maslach defines the primary characteristics of burnout as threefold. The first is emotional exhaustion. One's tank is just empty. The second really follows right in the wake of that, and that's depersonalization. So when the day comes that my clinical work consists of a checklist, and my goal is by the end of the day to have it all checked off, and I can't remember the name of a single patient I saw that day, that's depersonalization. Mm. And the third, which makes perfect sense, is lack of fulfillment or lack of professional satisfaction in one's work. So emotional exhaustion leads to work becoming a routine checklist, and that's just not very fulfilling to anybody who does that in medicine. So those are the three cardinal characteristics of Maslach's burnout inventory.
Dr. Hamilton, Bert and I were given your name from Dr. Sartori, whom I mentioned earlier, as, quote, the godfather of well-being for physicians and other healthcare professionals. And I thought that's a pretty incredible title coming from Dr. Sartori. And my understanding from reading many books, some of which are sitting in front of me, is this has been an area of interest for years for a very long time, long before the whole topic of burnout was front and center for us as physicians. How did you become interested long before most other people did?
You know, it was really very interesting. It started very small. I was chief medical officer for our flagship hospital in Orlando in the late 90s. And it was about 1998 or so that a really forward-thinking and courageous group of medical staff leaders said, you know what, we need to do something about physician behavior in this organization. There are things that happen that need to be addressed. The culmination of that was that we worked with a law firm that does a lot of hospital work and developed our first citizenship policy, which helped to define behaviors that we want to applaud and develop and support, and likewise identified behaviors that don't reflect either professionalism nor compassion. And we published that citizenship policy and put a process in place to hold people accountable to that. And our CEO at the time was very supportive of that work, but he came to me one day and he said, this is good work. We need it. I'm glad we have it. But he said, I want you to think about how we might lift doctors' shoulders, how we can relieve some of the burden that they face every day. And that really was the spark that ignited our work and our thinking about physician well-being. We hired a professional counselor, a psychologist, and linked that with one of our hospital chaplains and began to make coaching / counseling available to physicians who, by their own recognition or by referral from others would take advantage of that when they had their back up against a wall and didn't know where to turn. This resource was available. Within 5 years, we had to hire 2 full-time counselors, clinical psychologists, in order to satisfy the demand for services. The first 6 visits were free. After that, health insurance would kick in. It was absolutely confidential. It was secure, so that we even set up the waiting room and exit in such a way that no one would see who was coming or going. And that has been remarkably successful. That was the beginning.
I love that image that you describe of lifting the doctor's shoulders. Kind of reminds me of that imagery of the Bible of, you know, listen, lifting up Moses' hands as they were going into the battle. What have you seen that has worked well in well-being and helping lift the shoulders of the doctors, and maybe even more specifically, how could CMDA do that for our members?
Over the past 20, 25 years, this issue of physician well-being has really come to the fore, and major medical entities have gotten engaged. The American Medical Association, the ACGME, that is the graduate medical education entity, the various specialty societies, American Academy of Family Physicians, American College of Physician Executives, the emergency medicine groups, even the American College of Surgeons has become involved. So there's been a lot of activity around this issue of burnout, recognition, and trying to figure out what to do about it. And there seems to be some consensus on what to do about it, at least to the degree that we understand it. But the sad news is that over the past 12 years or so, since we first had reliable data about the incidence and prevalence of physician burnout, we've made precious little progress in reducing the incidence of physician burnout. The very first study that came out of Mayo Clinic in 2011 showed that by their own admission and based upon thousands of responses to a survey, about 40% of the physicians in the country were, by their own admission, experiencing one or more elements of burnout. And that stayed pretty constant until COVID came along 2.5, 3 years ago. And then it went up, ultimately exceeding the 50% mark. Some of the later data is suggesting that physician burnout is in the range of 54% now. So that's kind of a long preface to get to your question. And to get to the remedies, there are really 2 elements. One element is clearly an institutional element that only an institution can address. Things like the onerous electronic medical record that just chews up a physician's time and energy. What I refer to as the corporatization of medicine, in which physicians are now facing productivity standards for their practice, and often unable to have, at least according to their perspective, sufficient control over their schedule and over their day, so that a large percentage of their time may be eaten up by elements of their work that are really unfulfilling. Some statistics show that if a physician can have as much as 20% of their time dedicated to what they really enjoy doing, their satisfaction goes up significantly.
Do you agree with that, Ted? I was going to head you in that direction of that very fact that I think came out of the Mayo Clinic. In your own experience, that if 1/5 of a physician's time can be devoted to what they really love, that's going to sustain them?
You know, I only know of that one study. Having said that, when I have shared that data at conferences where there are groups of physicians, it seems to resonate. I've not seen another study to replicate those results, but it sure seems to make sense to doctors when they're exposed to that data.
So during the COVID crisis, which we all know, it's almost like a rhetorical question, did it increase during COVID? Because we all know it did. What do you think the factors that stand out to you that really made those numbers go up?
Clearly, things that we were facing for the first time in my career, things like scarcity of resources, scarcity of ICU beds, scarcity of ventilators, scarcity of personal protective equipment, scarcity of nurses, the scarcity of resources in light of or in concert with increasing demand and unrelenting demand so that doctors could never escape it. Another element of this is the issue of the moral injury or potential moral injury of having to make decisions about who gets vaccines and who doesn't. Today, testing and vaccines are readily available. They weren't 2 years ago. And if there is 10 ventilators and 11 persons who need them, who does not get the ventilator? There's that moral injury piece. And then there's just the ongoing, unrelenting stress of never being able to get it all done and facing deaths more frequently than any time in one's previous career and not being able to prevent those deaths. This is just a quick anecdote, but I've had opportunity to interview a couple of panels of doctors over the past 3 or 4 months about their experience with COVID. And in each case, as doctors reflected on their experience, sobs and tears. Men and women physicians, emergency doctors, ICU doctors, surgeons, tears falling unbidden down their cheeks over the stress and the challenges they face.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hamilton, I don't want to leave our listeners hanging because I'm a pastor and I like to fill in the blanks. You talked about two key components to remedy this, and one was clearly the organizational piece. What's the second one? What's the second blank?
Yeah, so the first is the organizational kinds of issues that we must face. The other is personal. What can I do about my symptoms of burnout? At the end of the day, all I can remember is how many check marks I got on the page, and I know that when I go home that evening after the kids are in bed, I've got 2 more hours of documentation on the medical record to do. How does a physician face the challenges, the demands of the workplace, and yet have enough left when one gets home, enough margin, in the words of Richard Swenson, enough margin to heal and renew and prepare for the next day? A very short story. One of our physician counselors tells the story of a doctor who came to see her and just poured out his heart and said, I don't know what to do. He was married. He had a couple of small children at home. And she said, I want you to do something for me. When you go home today, first thing you do is I want you to go take a shower. And he did that. And after he showered and came out of the shower, his little 4-year-old girl said, Daddy, can we go for a walk? And he walked around the block with her. And she said, that was the best thing ever. And when he got home the next day, she said, can we go for a walk again? Sometimes it's small things that just make a huge difference. But we have to be intentional, and we have to be willing to take that shower and to go for a walk with the little girl and to pet the dog and to help with the dishes somehow. It's difficult. It is difficult in today's world, but there is this dual obligation of the institution and the physician to deal with these issues, even though there's a cost, and there's always a cost. There's always a balance.
I've been intrigued to look at your Coalition for Physician Wellbeing website. Tell us a little bit about that, how it works, and how people can take advantage of that resource.
Coalition for Physician Wellbeing came into being around 2011, 2012, as we were just learning about this looming issue of burnout, and four of us sat around a table, all four of us representing different faith-based healthcare organizations, and we said, what can we do? What can we do? And we began scheming and dreaming, and we said, well, we can meet again next year. And the next year, there were 10 of us, and the following year, there were a dozen, and the year after that, there were 15. We weren't growing very fast, but we were learning together. And the one thing I think that distinguishes the work of the coalition today from many other well-meaning, thoughtful, prestigious organizations is that from the beginning, in keeping with our faith-based orientation, we decided that we were going to be unapologetic about including a spiritual element in promoting physician well-being. So it's not just jogging. It's not just meditation. It's not just making some space for social activities, but there's a deeply spiritual element in well-being and wholeness. And we think that that's an essential part of really achieving physician well-being. We've had annual conferences now for about a dozen years, and this past one was in late July. We had over 180 participants representing 60 organizations around the country. And we had reflections each morning, and we were not reluctant to express the role that faith plays in wellness, and it was just embraced. One other little vignette, when we did our evaluations at the end of this conference, a 2.5-day conference, one person out of that group said, you know, it was a little too much of Christ. You need to be more inclusive. And I told my staff that I would have been disappointed if we hadn't gotten that one, because it told me that we were hitting the mark.
Yes.
And it was really quite reassuring to me. If 180 people really found it to be helpful and one person said, yeah, you went over the line, that told me, I think we got it about right.
That's right.
Well, Dr. Hamilton, what do you think is the biggest gap right now in taking care of healthcare professional burnout?
As we think about the role of the advanced practice providers or advanced practice clinicians today, they do what doctors do. They admit patients, they write orders, they do procedures, they make rounds, they take call. They act more like doctors than nurses, more like doctors and physician assistants, and they face the same challenges with one additional one, and that is most of the time they report to physicians. And that brings its own challenges. So this year, 2022, we will be establishing a new subset of the coalition that will be directed toward addressing the unique challenges facing our advanced practice providers, the APCs. So we think that's very important. It's a big gap. I'll tell you another gap that has been recognized, but I don't think adequately treated, and that is medical education and graduate medical education. We know from good studies that students, upon entering medical school, their emotional and spiritual and physical health is really on a par with the folk they graduated with from college who have gone into other areas. By 2 years of medical school, their wellness has declined and their susceptibility to burnout has increased after 2 years of medical school. And it does not get better by graduation, and it does not get better during residency training. Probably gets worse during residency training. So we think this is a big area of opportunity to get our young physicians off to a better start and help them understand the necessity for balance and margin and taking care of themselves in that regard.
One of our big pushes right now at CMDA is mentoring all across the spectrum in all of our ministries, that mentors who've walked this path ahead of students and residents would be able to speak into their lives to help them see what's coming and maybe make a difference. So what have you seen in the arena of mentoring making a difference?
Just about a year and a half ago now, we introduced two programs that are just really going well. For all of our applicants to our employed physician group at Advent Health, we've introduced what we call a mission fit interview, which addresses these kind of doctor issues. And we are requiring that our recruiters offer the mission fit interviewing to all of our applicants to the program or to come to work for us. Tied to that, we at the same time instituted a mentoring program whereby for each physician that we hire, we assign a physician mentor, a seasoned physician, and we don't put them through a long training process. We just say, here's what we'd like for you to do. One time a month for the first 3 months of this new doctor's experience, do something with them. Have a cup of coffee, go to breakfast, meet them in the physician lounge, whatever, just once a month for 3 months. And then following that, once a quarter for the rest of the year. Well, by the time they've done that, they've developed a relationship. And it has amazed me how many physician mentors have stepped up and said, I'll be a part of that. This is volunteer. We don't pay them for it. That has just been an eye-opener for me. It's a wonderful thing. We're fully supported. It makes a difference.
Dr. Hamilton, you have a brand new book, The Healer, Peace, Prayers, and Promises. We've been enjoying taking a look at that book. Tell us a little bit about what led you to write it and how you hope the Lord uses it.
The germ of the idea for The Healer, Peace, Prayers, and Promises started about a dozen years ago when we have a small but very good publishing entity within Advent Health, 8 or 10 people who publish and help us get things published. And the leader of that, the director of that publishing entity, began circulating a little idea. He said, why don't we get together and write a health and healing Bible? Well, I thought that was a grand idea, but it just didn't get off the ground. We all had day jobs. And to do a whole Bible with applications regarding health and healing, it was just too heavy to lift off. But that idea stuck in my mind. And a couple of years ago, I thought, you know what? What if I just take Luke and John, Dr. Luke and John, whose gospel is unique among the four gospels, and look at the healing ministry of Jesus, both his healing miracles, but the other ways that he went about healing people, and see if we can't make reasonable applications to 21st century medicine. This book, initially intended for patients who are facing an illness. They may be in the bed in the hospital, they may be facing surgery, they may be facing a diagnosis that is very serious. It was intended for something to put at the bedside for patients to find comfort and hope during their time in the hospital. But as it developed and rolled off of my computer, it just suggested to me that this is for more than just patients. It's for families and it's for caregivers, both personal and professional. And as it's turned out, the book's been out several months now. That's turned out to be the case. I have chaplains and doctors and patients and families who are seeing Jesus perhaps in a new light and seeing healthcare in a new and different light. So that's the book.
Well, that's a great resource that you can, you and other physicians, other healthcare professionals can hand to patients and be a form of a faith flag, as we talk about around here. Thank you for what you've contributed for such a long time into helping physician well-being. And I was just thinking about your title, Chief Mission Integration Officer, and an old song by one of my favorite singers came to mind, Mr. Steve Green. Actually has a song entitled The Mission. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to close our interview with those words of the chorus of that song, which ring really true in the heart of this former missionary. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the strength from which our service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission is still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. And you have proven over many years that when physicians are doing well, that they have high well-being, that they engage, they're more likely to engage with an organizational mission. And so I can see why you are monitoring the well-being of your healthcare professionals across the Advent Health System. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Hamilton. And any closing words for us?
A word of appreciation for the work that CMDA does. As I thought about the contribution that CMDA has made in so many areas, but particularly to deal with this issue that we call burnout, CMDA brings many resources to the table that build healthy families, help establish solid friendships, that encourage an approach of faith. So the work that this organization does with its spiritual emphasis and its service opportunities, I think is absolutely remarkable and is part of the solution to physician burnout.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hamilton. It's been a joy to listen to you and to have this interview today. And we hope that the Lord allows us to have many more opportunities to link together in ministry and helping provide well-being for healthcare professionals. So God bless and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure and a privilege.
Well, if you enjoyed that conversation with Dr. Ted Hamilton today, we have a very special event just for you. Each year on the last Tuesday of November, our nation celebrates Giving Tuesday. On this special day, we're all encouraged to give an extra gift to help our favorite charities. Well, this year, instead of asking our members and our champions for a gift to advance the work of CMDA, we have a special gift for you, our faithful listeners, donors, and members. Dr. Hamilton has graciously agreed to lead a webinar focused on the well-being and burnout that many healthcare professionals are experiencing today. We will make an announcement on November 29th about that webinar, which we plan to offer in early December. If you'd like more information or to be placed on the RSVP list for the webinar, you can email our stewardship team at stewardship@cmda.org or watch for our email announcing this on November 29th. There's no question, friends, that the topic of burnout is here to stay, whether we like it or not. We've talked about it on multiple episodes of the podcast. We've written articles and blog posts about it, and it continues to be an increasing issue in healthcare, as our conversation with Dr. Hamilton shows. Your busy schedules, overwhelmed clinics, increased workload, and so much more contribute to burnout among healthcare professionals. And here at CMDA, we know that many of our members are feeling the overwhelming need for help to face these challenges. We've been observing and listening to these needs, and that's why we're expanding CMDA's Center for Well-Being, as well as increasing our list of services for you in the center. At the Center for Well-Being, our mission is coaching and caring for healthcare professionals. Did you know that we have experienced professional coaches available to help you through the opportunities and challenges that you face in healthcare? You can email us using coaching@cmda.org to learn more. Did you know we offer certified coaching training courses that can prepare you with the skills for coaching those in your sphere of influence? Our two popular continuing education qualified coaching courses are having a tremendous impact in the healthcare community. Did you know CMDA's marriage ministry falls under the Center for Wellbeing? We offer marriage enrichment weekends and retreats for our membership to refresh and restore their marriages. Did you know the medical malpractice ministry would love to help you as you walk through the difficult challenge of facing your malpractice lawsuit? We know this can be a stressful time in your life, and we have a team of doctors who've been where you are, and they passionately want to help you through the challenges that they themselves have faced. Did you know we now offer classes and resources for mentoring with a coach approach? You can gain insight into investing in the next generation of healthcare professionals. Did you know we now offer coaching and member care for our healthcare missionaries? Did you know that in addition to the professional care you can receive, we are also investing in pastoral care for our members? Well, this was quite a list of did you knows, and I hope hearing about all of it encourages you to contact our Center for Wellbeing. If you'd like more information about any of these did you knows, just visit cmda.org/wellbeing. You briefly heard Dr. Hamilton mention the word margin, as well as physician great and author at CMDA, Dr. Richard Swenson. If you're not familiar with his books, I want to encourage you to check out A Minute of Margin, Restoring Balance to Busy Lives. And it's available for you in the CMDA bookstore. With 180 daily readings, this book addresses the need to close the gap between rest and exhaustion in our overloaded lives. If you feel under-rested and overwhelmed, steal a minute to reflect and revitalize with Dr. Swenson's Prescriptions for Peace. By reestablishing leeway between your schedules and your limits, you'll be free to live more peaceful lives. You can order your copy today just by visiting cmda.org/bookstore. An additional resource we have here at CMDA that I think could be helpful to you, especially if you're feeling that increased level of burnout, is CMDA's weekly devotions. Written by past CMDA president Dr. Al Weir, who also received our Servant of Christ Award recently, these thought-provoking messages are designed specifically for healthcare professionals and the challenges that we all face on a day-to-day basis. If you're not yet subscribed to receive his email from us, just please visit cmda.org/blog today and you can sign up. I do have one more announcement before we close, and it's especially important for our listeners who might be looking to fill open positions at their clinic or even looking for a new position for themselves. Have you heard about CMDA Placement Services? It is a recruiting service that brings together healthcare professionals of like-minded faith who want to further God's kingdom. Through this service, we assist practices that are searching to hire Christian healthcare professionals, as well as healthcare professionals who are searching to join a Christian practice, maybe out of their residency or later on in practice and wanting a change. We have a number of opportunities across the United States, and the information is constantly being updated on our website. Our service is free to healthcare professionals seeking a position. We are one of the most widely utilized ways that believers link together, and our experienced placement specialists are happy to assist with your search as you seek the Lord's direction for your career. If you'd like more information, visit cmda.org/placement today. Well, that's it for us this week on CMDA Matters. Join me next week as I interview an NFL player who turned dentist, who just happens to be a member of CMDA. I think you're going to find this to be a very fun interview, and I'm joined by Dr. Bill Griffin, Vice President of Dental Ministry, so make sure to listen in next week. As always, if you'd like to suggest someone to join us on CMDA Matters as a future guest, you can email us at cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like our podcast, please be sure to give us that 5-star rating and share us on your favorite social media platform. I like personally using the New Living Translation for my daily scripture readings and my devotions, and today from the NLT, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can possibly understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Friend, if you're feeling the weight and pressure of burnout, or if you feel yourself spiraling closer and closer to burnout, my prayer for you today is that you will tell God exactly what you need, that you will seek peace through our Lord and Savior Jesus, that you will take the time out of your busy schedule of caring for others to take care of yourself. And I also pray that His peace, it will guard your heart and guard your mind as you bring the hope and healing of Christ to our world. That's what always matters to CMDA and CMDA Matters. We'll see you next week with that NFL player who turned dentist, God willing. Bye for now.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.